discipleship, leadership, and aligning ourselves properly in this area, and then fostering a place where there would be growth and maturity in us as believers, but also reminding ourselves that we don't come here with the worldly culture. We come and we embrace kingdom culture. I think even as Philip spoke, he mentioned something around kingdom culture. And even in our prayer meeting, there was something of the kingdom culture and that we'd live and do life very differently as Christ followers. And so we need to know this morning that as I touch and share on things, we don't follow mainstream society. We live counter-cultural because we're living kingdom values. And I'll explain a little bit more on that. And then most importantly, that Christianity actually stirs us and challenges us to live our lives differently and to carry the values that we see in the Bible. So I'm really trusting and hoping your hearts are going to be stirred this morning. So I'm going to just pray. Father, you see everything. Nothing is hidden from you. So firstly, before you, I just say, Lord, come and settle my heart. And I want to thank you that you can supersede our emotions and our feelings. I know that the enemy comes and he uses these moments to try and steal and take away and to distract. And so right now, I'm asking for your power to be able to minister effectively this morning. And then, Lord, just for the soil of every man and woman and young person's heart, dear Lord, to be ready to receive what you are saying to us as a people. And so, Lord, it's not me preaching down to, it's preaching to us and teaching us. And, Lord, that you would come and do a deep work in us as a people. We ask this now in your precious name, the most powerful name under heaven and earth. Amen. All right. So, you've got your title. And so, I want to launch out because it was so funny in the prayer meeting. I know that God's got something on this. So I want to put up Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And I know many of you are saying, oh, but we've heard this so many times. But you know what? We need to hear it over and over again. And I'm going to reflect where it becomes important for us. But the scripture says, then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. So this morning, when we look at the scripture, I think what becomes important for you, if you're making notes, number one, Jesus sets the agenda. I love it. What he's done here, in essence, the authority that he has been given, he's actually passing on to us. So we continue with what happened in Scripture. We continue to live that out today. And so just paraphrase, Jesus is saying, I'm in charge of everything. And because of that, I want you to go everywhere. Help people become my lifelong students. Officially mark their commitment through baptism. That is the water baptism, but then also the dying to self. And then it goes on, and teach them how to live the way I have shown you. And don't worry, you aren't doing this alone. I'm right there with you every single day. And so, as Christians, as Christ followers, every day our lives should be submitted to Jesus and to his mission. Okay? So, when we look at the mission, we know this. It's very obvious from what Scripture says. The goal is to go and make disciples. What is a disciple? It's a good question, Kells River. Love it that you're asking. All right? A disciple is a learner, is a follower of Christ. And in this context, we want to say that as the goal has been made clear to us, we don't want to be people that admire Jesus. We want to be a people that will follow Jesus and do the things that Jesus has called us to do. And we need to remind ourselves that as a church, it's not about church growth. It's not about the numbers. It's actually about growing up and becoming spiritually mature. Once you get saved and you give your life to the Lord, it's in that area that we grow up, we become spiritually mature. The natural flow will be that God will add, because then we not only become fruitful in our own lives, in our character, in our nature, but what will happen is God, through that, will add to the church as we go along. So it's very interesting, as I've been looking at this whole thing of discipleship. So I thought, we normally always use rugby and cricket and those kind of things. But who here likes to cook? Put your hands up. All right. How many of you have gone for cooking lessons? Raise your hands. Okay, we've got one over there. Got a few over there. All right. So, do you know that when you went for cooking lessons, you submitted yourself to somebody who knew much about their topic around food, who helped you actually make certain meals, told you how to mix different foods, etc.? You became that person's disciple. So you and I, in essence, if we look at our lives, all of us, in different ways, depending on your area of influence and the areas that you hang in, all of us are actually being discipled in different manners. You could be in sport. You could be in business. The passions that we have, if you go and chat to an experienced camper, you will become a disciple because they will tell you how to set up camp and pitch up a tent and marriage material 101, how to make sure you can secure and make your marriage survive setting up a tent. Yo. And the thing is, it's funny that I mentioned the tent, because what happened was Lee and I got a dome tent. This isn't part of my notes, but I'm going to go here now. Got a dome tent. It's a 3x3 canvas tent. I know why people put those things up for sale after 2 or 3 uses. Because if you don't know what you're doing, trust me, 3 hours later, you are being stretched to the limit. Until I get a 70-year-old couple that say, "Oh, you've got such a lovely setup. It's very similar to ours." And I said to him, in Afrikaans, "How did you guys do it? Look at your age." And he says, "Ach, sonny, when we break down, please come and visit us. You don't do anything. You sit and you watch." All right? And I kid you not, that's exactly what we did. We saw how he broke it down, him and his wife, how they folded it up and put it away. And then he says, "Now the next time, the same way that you broke it down, this is how you set it up." And bah, just like that, things were changed. In that moment, we became their disciples, willing to learn, willing to listen, willing to follow the instructions that were given to us. And you know what? The rest is history. And Lee and I can say that Marriage 101 material worked. Amen. So, the same applies when it comes to the church. The heart of us as leaders in the life of the church is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So when you come here, you're coming to a place where we're going to be learning and we're going to be working out the things of God together. We come as disciples. We come as learners that are submitted, firstly to Jesus, but then those that are walking with us to help us in the things of God. So if you've got point number 2, this is it. God's design is through the church and with leadership. And so I'm going to touch on a few things there. Let's look at what Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 says. "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people." Say that, to prepare God's people. Let's say it, to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, say mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is very powerful for us. And maybe some of us have been walking with the church for a long time and you're saying, "Well, this is very basic." But let me remind you, we always come back to the basics. Because sometimes what happens is we run so far ahead on what God is actually intending. And we've got to remind ourselves, are we doing the basics here? I want to also highlight to you that in that same chapter, which I didn't give to the team here, but if we look at Ephesians 3, verses 10, listen to what it says. "His intent was now that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known." Can I say to you that God's design is that the church is the place that we come together. It's the assembly of the saints All right? And those that are not yet saved are getting to hear the gospel, the good news about Jesus and how he saves. But what's happening for the rest of us is we are coming into a place that there's equipping and training. And I think why the Lord has been stirring my heart around this whole thing of looking at a series of going deeper in discipleship is because the problem is for many of us, we're hearing the stuff, but I don't know if we're actively living it out. And I'm including myself in this. This is not a rebuke, but I think it certainly is a challenge to us is, are we doing what Jesus has called us to do? Are we living out that which we're told to do and walk in obedience? He says, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. Are we doing this? Is this part of our daily lives? So we need to remind ourselves when we come to our Sunday meetings, whether you are here or in any of the other Joshian congregations, that it's an environment where there should be spiritual growth and maturity for us individually, but then the overflow will reach others and naturally the church will obviously expand. We need to be mindful that God also puts leaders in place in the church to equip us, to train us, and then with that, send you out to do the work of Jesus in your areas of influence. It's not about a Sunday. It's not just about a Wednesday. But when you and I go from this place into our areas of influence, are people experiencing the eyes, ears, hands, feet, and mouth of Jesus coming into that place? You need to know that when we come together, this is a place where God will work things in you. And I love it when we come together. Because when we come together, God doesn't leave you as you are. He doesn't leave us as we are. We got to trust the word that was brought this morning. I think it was B that brought the word. That God wants to do something in us. And you've got to have faith for that. When we come together, come with an expectation. Lord, I'm open for you to work in my life and to do the changes. Why? Because he wants to shape you more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And in our coming together, when we come together like this, your presence is valuable because actually, what happens is just by you being here, you could be inspiring and encouraging others. But if you're using your gifts, talents, and abilities and resources to help build in this context, our faith collectively is being stirred and raised up. This is a place where God doesn't only just want to get into you, he wants to deal with your sin. He wants to deal with the things that are set up against him. And it's in our togetherness when the preaching takes place, when the worship and the prophetic words happen here, that God gets into that stuff. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. And he wants to bring you into wholeness. And that's why these moments are so important, that when we as leaders get up and we preach and teach, that you are open for what God wants to do in your lives. I'm responsible for what I bring on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night. I'm not responsible for your actions and your choices and decisions. Your response is to God. And heaven went quiet. Does that make sense? So you need to know that as we go on this journey, part of discipleship is a gradual journey of getting to understand how to practice Jesus' teachings, not Jesus's, Jesus's, okay? And one of the things that we understand in practicing some of the teachings is firstly, is that we love God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, with all of our strength. And then what does the second command say? That we love everybody else. And we learn to love those around us because that's what Jesus taught. And then with that, we're serving God and the purposes of God, not only here, but in our areas of influence. And then remind ourselves that through all of this, and I repeat it, is that more and more you and I are being fashioned and shaped and transformed into the likeness of Jesus. In and through the church, you are not here spectators. We are here as participators. That's why for some of us, you might wonder, and for those who are visiting, why do these people come up and share stuff here, and then you've got different people sharing? Because you know what? God puts us in a body, and each one of us has a role to play. And God speaks to people here, and God wants to speak to the church. He wants to encourage her. He wants to build her up. He wants to strengthen her. And that's why these moments are so important for us to realize, Lord, when I come, a humble individual, I have my warts and all, my insecurities, but Lord, here I am with my 2 fish and 5 loaves. How can I serve you today, Lord? Come with that posture. That's why as leaders, we're constantly encouraging you to come with what God has given you, and let's see what God does in the meeting. Part of coming together in these meetings, we lay our lives down. I want to say to you, as you come in, as leaders, we're saying, lay your lives down for Jesus, okay? With that, lay your ministries down for Jesus. We've got people that are coming in from all over the place, different church backgrounds, etc. But God brings you into a body, and yes, he brings you with gifts and talents and abilities and certain ministries. But I want to say, when you bring your ministry into this context, it's not about your ministry, it's about Jesus. You lay that down. I'm here to serve. If this ministry that I have can serve you and help build the body, I present it to you, and you let God raise that thing up. Because where there are 2 visions, it's division. And please be mindful, when God brings you into the church, he wants to use you to build up this local body in this context or where you find yourself, so that the kingdom of God will advance in that context. Amen? Is this okay? So this morning, I do feel, and this might be different for some folk, but there's a moment I feel like the Lord is wanting us to reset and getting ourselves back into line. I think what's happened is, my sensing is, you know, we've been running hard, all of us, and there's been wonderful transitions in 4 congregations where many of us have come together. But I think even with this word being shared with some who are visiting this morning, is that we get back into line with those that are over us in the Lord, and we make sure that we're running well with him. One of the pictures I have in my mind is that when you go through the farms in Durbanville, when they go into harvest, the people, when they pick the vineyards, they're all in line and they're walking in uniformity. They're walking together to harvest. They don't go all over the place. And I feel like the Lord is just wanting to bring us back to that place of just saying, let's get back into line. I know in Afrikaans they say, blay in your barn. Okay, but that's a little bit harsh. Okay, it's just, let's get back into line and make sure that we're walking like the Lord has called us to. All right. So, point number 3, leaders are there to serve the people. Let's see what 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 5 says. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, who is Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Scripture speaks for itself. Isn't that amazing? And so, leaders, you need to know that as a leadership team, as we talk about God working in the church and then working through the church, one of the things that we need to be mindful is that leaders that are up front here, your elders, your deacons, your comm group leaders, and anybody else in any form of leadership role, they do this because they are willing, not because they have to. And if I break it down just into eldership, we need to remind ourselves that when God puts leaders in the church, and this is why I said it's such a difficult one, because there's not an issue in the church. I think the Lord is just trying to align something here. But what happens is there could be this thing of, oh, they just want to be power hungry now. They just want to control us now. But we need to understand God teaches us to be countercultural. We've got to come back to what Scripture teaches us and how we walk right. And you'll see why this becomes important for us. So what happens is we lead willingly. And you need to, as a people, when you see your leaders, starting with your elders, your deacons, your comm group leaders, and anybody leading in any other area, can you see them as chosen by God, appointed, which means that there's a task, and actually their role is to bear much fruit, not only in their lives, but how they lead those that are entrusted to them. So, we do this willingly, not because we have to. Leaders lead and serve, not for gain. One of the things I'm reminded in John 13, what did Jesus demonstrate when he was with his disciples? He demonstrated putting a cloth over his arm and a bowl where he washed the feet of the saints, those that were walking with him, the disciples. And one disciple said to him, "No, Lord, surely not this. There's no ways that you could wash my feet." And what did Jesus turn around and say to him? That if you do not let me wash your feet, he says, you'll have no part of the kingdom. And for some of us, and last week we dealt with the whole area of pride. Some of us have issues where leaders are actually wanting to serve and wanting to help and wanting to encourage, and people will kick against that. And we need to be mindful that your leaders are not here to be served. They are here to serve you and to help you and to encourage you and to build faith into you and to help you walk this journey well. With the scripture as well, leaders are not to be domineering or controlling. And you know what the sad reality is for many of us? We've experienced this, if we really are honest. That's why I think some of us struggle in this area where there's domineering or controlling leadership. And then the other side is that we swing with that pendulum, domineering and controlling, we move right to the other side where there's smothering and mothering. And what I've realized is when the Lord said that we are not to lord our leadership over people, what I felt the Lord say to me last year, towards the end of last year, did you know, Ants, that the smothering and mothering of some of the leaders is actually lording your leadership and overreaching because you're actually taking the place of Christ. We're not letting people feel or work out their stuff with Jesus because we feel so sorry for their circumstances and their situations that we actually jump in so quickly to rescue. And Jesus says, but I didn't ask you to be the rescuer. I'm the rescuer. You've been the little Jesus, so now you fix the mess. And what happens is this gets delayed in people's lives rather than us as leaders getting a very healthy balance of what it means to serve you, all right, and then also to encourage you to find Jesus in your situation. Your leaders, we look at Galatians 6, verses 2. It says, carry one another's burdens. And then verse 5, it says, each one is to carry their load. As leaders, when we see your situation, we can come and we can say, yo, I feel your weight, I feel your pain. We're going to pray with you. We're going to stand with you together in this. And we encourage, we send scriptures, and we support and help in that area. But each one needs to carry their load. You've got to find Jesus in your situation. Does this make sense? And as disciples, why are we teaching this? Because what happens is we so easily point people back to man when we need to be pointing people back to Jesus. I'm asking you as the church, help us, firstly, by you living in that space, run to Jesus first. Get to hear what Jesus is saying about your situation. Then you come to your leaders or your comm group leaders, your deacons, your elders, and say, hey, man, I'm struggling. I need help in this area. And then in that, the leaders should be saying, well, what has the Lord said to you? Because otherwise, what happens is we set the leaders up, and they become Christ, which then becomes a problem for them because God says, I'll have no equal. Is this okay? All right. So I want to model something for you. Can I use this chair, please? As a leadership, this is what I'm hoping you're going to take away today. Sitting here, we are all equal in value. I want this to sink in. We are all equal in value. But in the church, when God appoints, chooses your leaders, there's a difference in function. So your leaders have a function that they've got to fulfill and a responsibility before God that they've got to carry out. But I want to take it deeper. When I sit next to my wife, we are equal in value. We just differ in function. The man, as the Bible teaches, is the head of his home. We've got two young girls here. We are equal in value, but we just differ in function because dad is the head of the home. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We are all equally loved by the Lord, and it's just about where our function comes in terms of the context of the calling of God on our lives. I end with this point. Healthy leaders don't take the place of God. They point people to Him. And point number four, I want to show you what a healthy response to leaders look like. And I'm really feeling like this is where the Lord wants us to focus this morning. Hebrews 13 verses 7 says the following, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Verses 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no advantage to you. So if you're making notes, I want to remind you, first thing, remember your leaders. Remember those of the past who have sown into your lives, the good that has been sown into your lives. Thank the Lord for those things. But now you need to be mindful that God brings you into a place, and there's different contexts that we're facing at the moment, and I want to encourage us, remember your leaders. Can I encourage you, pray for your leaders. Send them encouragement. You might not know this, but it's a very lonely place. People often assume that as leaders, we got so many friends. I want to tell you something. It's probably the most lonely place that I found myself in. I was on a 3-month sabbatical, and that's one of the things. By association, we're connected with many people. But it's often, I think people feel that they can't reach out, can't encourage. And so we realize that we have very few friends as leaders because somehow people just seem to put us on a pedestal. We're normal people just like the rest of you. And actually, I am quite mischievous. I am quite funny, and I will get myself into trouble with stuff like that. But your leaders, I want to encourage the church, your elders, invite them into your homes. Really, spend time with them. Take them out for coffees. Get to know them. They're normal people. And their wives. And I really want to stir the church up in this particular area. Please pray for your leaders. Please encourage them. Consider their lives. When you look at their lives, the elders have got up and shared their testimonies. Those that weren't here, you can go and listen online. People have made themselves vulnerable. And I've loved some of the feedback where people said, it's so lacquer to hear this feedback that you guys are actually just normal people. I said, well, we're getting into winter now. I promise you, I don't walk on water. In fact, it's so lekker to see Safas and Esmeri. Safas, lekker to see you, bro. I never in my wildest dreams would think that one day I'd be preaching And there was a guy who was in our neighborhood. We were chukkers, lighties, playing tuk-tuki and hide-and-seek and all of those kind of things when we were young. And here they're sitting. And the beautiful thing is Esmerie is she's my physio. So she's the one that's responsible for getting me out of the boot. Let's give her a round of applause. So I don't even know why I went there. But it worked. Now, I think in that, it's just being real. You know, Esmerie working on my foot. Sorry, I'm just going to use the moment. It's, you know, you go to physio. You're not going for a massage and like you're walking out. That was hectic. I knew when I was going in. It's going to be a painful moment. And that's her job, to hurt you. Okay? Because it's good for you. So they tell you. But no, seriously, you know, in that, I think what happens is Esmerie will tell you, I'm a normal guy. I was squealing like a pig. It was super sore. It was painful. So we're normal people. We're not above anybody else. We experience these things. But watch the faith of your leaders. How do they live out their journey? Do they worship God? Are they loving God? If that's what you're seeing, those are the things that you can follow and walk with these folk. Obeying your leaders means following instructions. Can I encourage you, when we teach you around certain things in the Word of God, we're not teaching you a good idea, we're teaching you God's ideas. And actually, you need to respond to God. Part of your responding to your leaders is actually your response to God. And so, for example, if we're saying, hey, these are red flag meetings, we're encouraging you to be involved in certain things because we know it's going to be good for your growth. Okay. Then you need to know, you submit to your leaders. And that thing comes out. What does submission mean? I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to walk in your ways, Lord. I'm willing to surrender myself. That's what it is. So you've seen something of their lives and you know God has called them. Your leaders watch over you. And that's what we do. Often when we come together in these meetings or we have a comm group meeting or we are together at an event, what happens is you'll pick up very quickly, wow, this person may seem to be struggling. Look at Kaylin. When she gets up and she takes the mic, hey man, just blow wind into her sails. We're not here as spiritual policemen looking for problems. We're actually here to see how we can blow wind into your sails so that you can actually really run hard for the King. And so our job is to stay alert for the dangers that many of you are facing. You know what our biggest challenge is as leaders? There is so much social media, and there is so much that people are listening to. And often we would be saying to people, you spend your time listening to so much of the stuff outside, yet we've got 412 material that very few people have gone and listened to. And we will look out for you and encourage you to listen and to feed yourself with the right stuff. It's not trying to control, it's to help you. Because we don't want you guys to struggle and that your faith gets hurt. And then your leaders will give an account. And we're slowly winding down here now. Your leaders will give an account. And this is a sobering reminder for all of us who lead in the church that we will stand and give an account before the Lord on what we do and how we go about things. And I'm going to say this, that the same will apply to you, how you go about things. If you are a husband and you've got a wife, you're a leader. You're going to stand before God. If you are walking with a leader and you're not submitted, you will stand before God and you're going to give an account of how you have submitted. So obey so that this work will become a joy. Let's go. God's places authority. Let's see, Romans 13, verses 1 to 5. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been given, were established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. God places people in authority. It's him that does it. Now, many of us are sitting here and you're going, yeah, in the church, that's right. We look at our government. Yep, God even places those people in government. He puts them in authority. But many of us are scrambling in our heads and saying, yo, are you seeing what's happening in our country? This is not a political moment for me. The point is this, God has put people in authority. Whenever anybody is given some measure of authority, some measure of leadership, you need to know there will be an accountability and they will stand before God and give an account. God will never be super trumped in this. And there's one answer to this nation currently in this situation is that the answer lies with Jesus in and through the local church. We are called to respect authority. The reality is that when we look at authority, many of us rebel. It's a natural human tendency. Why did this happen? Because sin came into the world when Adam and Eve actually rejected what God had told them. They followed the ways of Satan. And as a result of that, sin was born into the world. So we should not be surprised that there's a kick against authority. And why this becomes important, because even in the local church, we need to remind ourselves God places people in authority, and actually our response and how we follow that is how we walk with God. We are called to be responsible citizens and responsible Christians. We are to model lives that show respect to those that have been placed over us, whether it's in the church or in civil society, knowing that God will judge them and we will have to give an account one day. And I want to encourage you this morning. The heart is really to stir you up, to get you thinking about how you walk with authority, and then how are you handling the authority that has been given to you. My final point is this. The marks of maturity in the local church looks like this. That there's a teachability in the people. There's a response to correction. There's a willingness to serve. There's a consistency in people with the things of God and the way that they live out their lives. We move from spectator to disciple. We move from independence to aligning ourselves with a dependence on God and an interdependence on one another. We move from complacency to growth. And if we get this right, we don't just build a church, but we also become the kind of people that God will use. So there are three groups of people this morning that I want to speak to as I land. I don't know why the Lord wanted me to preach on this. It's a tough thing. It's against my own grain. But I know that sometimes as leaders, leaders won't teach on finances because people feel that they're chasing money, might be scared to address marriages. But the Lord is wanting to deal with something here this morning. And so I'm going to ask us to be open and honest with ourselves. How many of us are sitting here that can say, we've not responded well to authority? There's been resistance, a sense of independence. There's been a critical spirit. There's been a withholding ourselves. This morning, if the Holy Spirit is highlighting anything in your heart, i.e. an attitude, a behavior, a resistance, we need to respond to God this morning. And I will say we need to come with humility and with a repentant heart. I'm guilty. Because I've rebelled against my parents when I was young. I've rebelled against school teachers. I've kicked against bosses. I've kicked against church leaders. But the Lord has had to deal with me over time to get this into a place where I could say comfortably, get up and speak with you around this. But I want to say to you, I haven't got it right. I'm still growing in this area. How many of you are sitting here this morning can say, that's me? The second group of people, some of you are not resistance. You are wounded. There are some of you that are sitting here, you've been wounded by leadership and it's stunted your growth in the way that you've walked with God. And you've got issues in your heart because of this. I want to apologize to you from the front on behalf of them. And I want to say, I'm so sorry for what you've had to go through. I'm so sorry that there's been bad leadership, there's been controlling leadership, and there's been leadership that has really not helped many of us walk in the things of God. But I do know this because I come from a place where no leader wakes up to try and mess up people's lives. The problem is for many of us, we've stayed stuck in this and we've allowed the enemy to control our lives. And God wants you to walk in freedom around this area. Come and find healing this morning. Come and find healing. Acknowledge what you've experienced. If you've had bad leadership hurt you, say it. I've been hurt, but I want to say to you today, today is the day that you get set free from that thing. Don't live in bondage. Don't live in captivity. The power of Jesus' name can break that stranglehold on your life today. And it could be a father, it could be a mother, it could be a boss. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is highlighting right now the very thing that God wants to set you free from. And the third group, I won't go to just yet because I want us to respond this morning. And so those first two, if that speaks to you this morning, I'm going to ask you where you are just to stand, because there's two groups, so I won't know which one it is that you're standing with. But if that impacted you, and you know that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, please stand. I want you to pray with me. And I'm going to take you all through a prayer which will cover both of those. I'm going to speak it out. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning and I acknowledge, Lord, that I have not responded well to authority. This morning, Lord, I acknowledge that I've been resistant. I've operated independently. At times I've had a critical spirit and I've even withheld myself. This morning I want to say, Lord, please forgive me. Have mercy on me. And this morning, I want to commit myself to serving your purposes. I want to walk in a way that is countercultural. It's kingdom culture. I want to walk in a way that will honor those that are over me. In the church, in my areas of influence. And I thank you today, Lord, that you have forgiven me. And in the name of Jesus, I am set free from this now. There's no shame, guilt, or condemnation. And then, Lord, I come to you and I acknowledge where I've been wounded by leaders. I call it what it is, Lord. I've had bad leadership. There's been control. There's been disappointment. There's been broken trust. And this morning, Lord, I bring those people to you. The Holy Spirit is showing you those faces right now. And Lord, this morning, I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them. I release them to you, Lord. They stand to give an account before you, Lord. Help me not to entertain any negative thoughts, any arguments to try and make things right or to get even. I release them to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Jesus, that you set me free now. And I want to live in that freedom. In Jesus' name I pray this. Father, I thank you for these folk that have stood for both of these points. You know where every man and woman is at. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will come and heal, restore, renew, refresh, and revive each person this morning. And I thank you for that. Let them have a tangible sense of healing and restoration in Jesus' name. You can sit. Then the last group. This is a salvation call as we end. Everything we've spoken about, discipleship, growth, and aligning with leaders, can only happen with one thing here this morning. And I need to say to you that it starts with a relationship with Jesus. You cannot do anything without actually surrendering your life to Jesus. And many of the men and women here have submitted their lives to Jesus, given their lives to Jesus, and that's why it's possible for them to do what they're doing today. And so I want to give you that opportunity. So if we can just bow our heads. I want to say to folk here this morning, perhaps you've never made a decision to surrender your life to Jesus. You need to know that He loves you, that He cares about you, and that He doesn't want to leave you as you are. The heart of God this morning is that when the gospel goes out, the good news of how Jesus will save you is that we need to respond and recognize that we need Him. And this morning, I want to ask you, is there anybody here that has not made a decision for Jesus and today you're saying, I want to respond to Him? I'd love for you just to raise your hand and I'm going to pray a prayer with you. Is there anybody today? Any hands? Okay. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the men and women here. I'm really trusting that as this word went out, that your word will not return to you void. That you'll do what you need to do in our midst. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this moment. We really believe, Lord, that you will build a healthy church. You will cause us as saints to mature in the things of you, to serve your purposes going forward. Pray this in your precious name. Amen.